Then on page 8, then we have protection from the seven vices. This is from Manusamhita chapter 7 on the duties of a king. Let him carefully conquer greediness, the root of both sets of vices. That greediness which all wise men declare to be the root of even both of these sets, let him carefully conquer. Both sets of vices are produced by that. The seven most difficult vices. That springing from love of pleasure, drinking, dice, women, and hunting. That produced by wrath, assault, insulting others, and the seizure of property. Drinking, dice, women, and hunting, these four which have been enumerated in succession, he must know to be the most pernicious in the set that springs from love of pleasure. Right, because, in other words, the king has to watch out for two groups of vices, that coming from pleasure and that coming from anger. Right? And then of that, there's seven in one, ten in the other. So of these 17, then he gives what is that greed will be what will cause all these 17 vices. Because that's there, everything else will come up. Then he's giving that. Of these, then you have what is the worst in both sets. So the worst in one set is the drinking, dice, women, and hunting. That is in love of pleasure. And in assault, then it means wrath or anger, assault, insulting others, and the seizure of property. So then of those, then we see that the drinking, dice, women, and hunting are the worst out of all these 17. And if you'll notice here, this is Manusamhita, so this was spoken millions of years ago. So then we have drinking, so intoxication. Because in Manu, whenever they describe a particular vice or area, they take the essential point, or the main, the most prominent. Right? So we see of all the intoxication, the one that's most universal anywhere in any culture is drinking, is alcohol. But it includes any other kind of intoxication. He says that. You know, because at different times in different places, they come up with their own unique stuff. So whatever it is, it doesn't matter, but it's all in the same category. So we see intoxication. Then dice is gambling. All right? Women, illicit sex, hunting, then meat eating. Right? So just in case anybody was ever heard or disturbed by the idea that Prabhupada made these four up. So here's, you know, millions of year old evidence that it's just commonplace stuff that every king, any normal king on the planet was trying to avoid. Right? Assault, insulting others, and the seizure of property. Right? Because when one's so angry, then one wants to prove one's ego. So then there's going to be some variety of confrontation. But if it's coming from anger, then that's not going to produce any good result. Right? It can only produce good result if it is due to the senses being controlled. Right? If it's controlled, then one is using one's intelligence, one's going through the steps, then one can actually establish property. Insulting others, that you're angry, so therefore you insult them to respond like that. So that will give rise to so many difficulties. Because when you've insulted somebody, that can last a lifetime. You know, especially someone else who's very wrathful. So between two wrathful persons, they destroy each other. Right? Because this will come up, they'll insult each other, then they have, you know, baggage or history. Right? But it's coming from wrath. So this whole idea is that these things are important is not. So every king is supposed to be able to give this up. He should not be functioning. We see Yudhishthir, even though he was dealt with roughly, he'd never insulted Duryodhana or insulted Dhritarashtra. That's what makes him unique, special. The modern concept, no, let it out, he's just venting, you know, his rage. Nice, if you're just common off-the-street people. But if you're a leader, then it's not done. Right? Does that make sense? At least if you do it, you should make sure it's private. Make sure it's not going to create any effect. But if it's done publicly to establish your position, it'll never establish your position. You command respect. You don't demand it. You demand it, it doesn't work. Why doesn't it work?
Okay, so at this juncture then, we'll delve a bit into the elements of Shankya, of the masculine-feminine principle. So everything is going in this universe, every action and reaction, every desire, need, and action based thereupon is functioning on the masculine-feminine principle. So it's not the masculine-feminine principle means it's only about men and women. It's about action and reaction, because everything functions that way. Because ultimately, then, there's Krishna and his internal potency that are doing everything. So then that will make for the masculine-feminine in technical detail. But we're looking at it here in the social context. So that will mean the masculine principle is the one that is acting, right? That is making that step for interaction, right? And making that step, but that step is made according to the nature of the feminine aspect that he's working with, right? It's not enough, okay, I'm the man, whatever I say goes. It doesn't work like that. I mean, of course, there's probably 3 billion men on the planet that think it should, but it's not the way it works. Because none of those 3 billion men, generally, will ever apply that if they're dealing with a thing. Right? You know what I'm saying? Do you put petrol in your car whenever you feel like it, or when the car needs it? Do you change the tires whenever you feel like it, or when the car needs it? What about the oil? What about stopping before running into a wall? You don't feel like stopping, then that's what you do, or you stop. You know, you're going around a corner, and it's wet, so you go around at any speed you like, or you go around according to the speed that the car can handle in the corner. Right? Think about it. If you're dealing with inanimate matter, any expert man will deal properly. But somehow or another, if it's animate, they don't think like that. Their brain goes backwards. No, it's got to do because I said. So who cares? What did you do that anybody cares? You know what I'm saying? Does it make some sense? Or are we talking here rocket science? Okay. So that would mean then you have to look at what is the masculine principle. The parent. When does the parent feed the baby? Whenever they think it's, no, it's not 9 o'clock, I'm sorry, you got to control your senses. You ever told that to a 2-year-old? No. What about diapers? You change them whenever, you know, I'm sorry, you know, you're 3 hours early, you know. It's according to when, you understand? This is the masculine-feminine principle. Right? If you're pushing on a knife, how hard do you push on the knife? Depends upon what you're cutting. You understand? This is the masculine-feminine principle. You understand it, you will be successful. You don't understand it, you will never be successful. I mean, never. Right? Kapila Muni is describing how the universe works through discussing the Shankya philosophy. And the basis of the Shankya philosophy is this masculine-feminine principle. Right? Because the masculine is active, but according to the disposition of the feminine. Right? So one has to understand this principle. And then the second thing to understand is who's in the masculine position, who's in the feminine position. Right? Does that make sense? That's the more difficult. I mean, it's easy, okay. Certain things are there. Well, I won't even give that example these days. You can say that they're a male, anatomically correct masculine form or an anatomically correct feminine form. Generally, you can kind of tell the difference. You know, okay, this is masculine, feminine. But it doesn't. That's not necessarily what it means. The mother is in the masculine position. The son is in the feminine position. Right? Because the mother does things according to the need of the son. Right? Son's hungry. Hey, Ma, I'm hungry. You know, anything to eat? Right? So then she arranges it. He has dirty clothes. She washes it. He didn't make his bed again for the 5 millionth time. She makes it. Right? His socks are still in the middle of the floor. She picks them up. Right? Does that make sense? So then one has to be able to understand. So a leader means one's in the masculine position. And those who are following are in the feminine. Right? So teacher, student, right? Masculine, feminine. Leader, followers, masculine, feminine. Does that make sense? So that would mean then one has to be able to control these things. Because if whatever the masculine does, the feminine follows. Right? It's a very simple but very sophisticated interaction. Based on the mentality of the feminine principle, the masculine principle acts. But based upon how the masculine principle acts, the feminine principle responds. Then that feminine principle, then having seen the reaction of the feminine principle, that then defines the next action by the masculine principle. Right? That, but one can only do that if it's one's in the present. So it requires the mode of goodness. So if one is overcome by anger or wrath here, that's mode of passion, ignorance. Right? So that ignorance is going to overcome goodness. And it's not going to create a good environment. So that means then the feminine principle will react in the same way. The leader is unforgiving, the follower will be unforgiving. Right? You can always tell what is the symptom. It means you can... You want to say something? Or, oh, okay. You can observe one or the other and tell what's going on because they're connected. The difficulties that the feminine aspect is having, you can understand what are the weaknesses in the masculine. Or you can tell how the masculine is behaving, you know how the feminine will respond. Right? If you know the natures of each. Right? So now, in this formula, what is changing? What is the changeable factor? Right, what to perform their duty properly has to be able to deal in the moment with intelligence and act accordingly. The masculine and the feminine principle. Right? It's the masculine. Right, so that's then why one can't be overcome by ignorance, because ignorance is not knowledge. Goodness is knowledge. So then, if one is finding that, if one is working by one's emotions alone, that's all right if you're in the feminine position. But if you're not, you're in the masculine position, it's never appreciated. Right? It's never appreciated like that. If the one in the masculine position is trying to get attention, it will never work. Because the point is the masculine adjusts to the mood of the feminine. That's what makes the dynamic. Right? So if the leader is trying to prove who they are and prove that they're in charge by emotional means, it won't work. Because the feminine will not respond. Right? Right, example means in these examples, and generally we will go back into examples into natural masculine feminine relationships because they're generally most universal and most clear because that manifestation has the greatest amount of detail. Right, the other one I talk about, a man in his car like that, it's minimal. The principles are all there, but it's not as complex. Right. But when you deal with people, then it's complex. And then when you deal with between men and women, that's the most. So let us say the man, everything's going fine and all that, but something happens suddenly and on the spot, somehow or another, he emotionally reacts and breaks down. Right? He will get the feminine support. Because the masculine-feminine principle is balanced. So if he takes up that mood, right, then she takes up the mood of the parent. Right? In other words, if the man is actually
you know, emotionally or physically disturbed, she'll take the parental role and go into the masculine position. Right? Because the rasa includes all these. Right? Conjugal rasa includes the parental rasa, includes the friendship, includes servitorship. Right? She'll go into that mode, take care. But if he's had a bad day at the office and he feels like he's the victim here, and he wants to go home and make sure that she gives him that emotional support he feels he deserves, he'll just run into a very quiet brick wall. She won't respond at all because he's demanding attention. And how do you deal with demand of attention? You ignore it. Kid throws a tantrum, you ignore it. You acknowledge it, it makes it important. You just ignore it. Right? And then you understand it's not important. So that's what will happen. So that means if the leader is trying through his anger to establish, no, I'm in charge, the feminine won't respond. The citizenry will not respond and think, wow, he's in charge. Why didn't I ever figure that out? You understand? It's a science. One may think, oh, they don't appreciate me, nobody cares. No, that's because you're not acting as a leader. You're trying to act as a citizen and trying to make the citizenry into the leader, into the masculine position. Because then you're trying to make them sensitive to your needs. No, you have to be sensitive to their needs. Then the feminine will respond to that. In other words, the first step is always taken by the masculine principle. The feminine principle responds. You understand? All interaction between living entities works on these principles. Everything, everywhere, from Krishna and his pastimes, you know, with his devotees, to Krishna's pastimes in the material manifestation. It doesn't matter. It's the same principle. So it's not a matter of the modern day thing of what you feel is reality or how you perceive it as reality. It works fine if you're in the feminine position. These are all feminine positions. What you feel, that's what's important. No, it's got to be, that's all right for the feminine position. But the masculine position has to be able to include the intelligence in that. And observe the field, because you have to respond to the field. Right? You want to become a rich person. You have to be observant of and work according to the economic environment. It's not going to change for you. You got to change for it. Right? You want to get result. Then you have to put yourself in the masculine position. So what does that mean? Then you have to adjust to the environment, the field of activities that Krishna talks about. You have the field of activities, right? Then within that you have the senses. Then within that you have the desire. Then the living entity and his endeavor. Then ultimately the Supreme Lord. Right? So you've just established that the field of activities is in the feminine position. Then the living entity, through the senses, contacts that. Right? And according to his endeavor, then there's a result that's dependent upon the Supreme Lord. Because even though we're in the masculine position in the operative cause, he's still the ultimate cause. So ultimately, he's in the masculine position, we're in the feminine. Right? So this is where, like yesterday we discussed, one has to be able to simultaneously be a leader and a follower. Right? Someone who is able to follow Prabhupada's instructions, he will be a good leader. Someone who can't, won't. That makes sense? So it goes on simultaneously. The mother is in the masculine position in connection with the son, but the mother is the wife, or in the feminine position, to the husband, who's in the masculine position. You understand? And he, let's say he's just he works for somebody, so therefore, even though he's the man in the family, at work he's in the feminine position because he has a boss who's in the masculine position.
And the boss is in that position, but then he's in the feminine position because above that is administrators. Right? And administrators are in the masculine position. They run the whole country, but they're in the feminine position when it comes to the Brahmins. Right? The Brahmins are in the masculine position, but then they're in the feminist position because they are dependent upon their authorities. Right? So like that. So ultimately only Krishna is in the masculine position and it stays like that. Right? Unless he comes as Lord Chaitanya. Yes.
How do you define the difference between manager and administrator?
Manager and administrator means an administrator is someone who is seeing to, how do you say, means a manager can be a leader or not. An administrator has to be a leader. Right? There's a difference between an administrator and someone who is involved in the administration. Right? In other words, bureaucrats are involved in the administration. They're the ones that make administration work. Right? They get the papers and move them from here to there and, you know, follow up on you know, the laws that are established, right? See to the workings of this, the economic and the political workings of it. That's those involved in the administration. The administrator is the one that sees that all the the things of not sure what would be the term, because you can't define something by itself, you know, with all the elements of administration, that those are going on. That's the administrator. A manager is simply seeing that a field of activities is being operated so it gets a specific result. So that could be done in connection with people or not. But leadership means it's always people. Right? So you can have a leader who's a manager and not an administrator. An administrator will always be a manager because administration includes management. Manager is part of administration. Right? You know, in other words, you may have a good preacher. He's not an administrator. But he can manage his preaching program. He can manage the devotees, he can manage, you know, whatever it is, his books or his bus or his festival or whatever it is that he's doing. He can manage that, but he's not an administrator. He may not be able to keep his books nicely or, you know, follow up on different things like that or keep a whole security force going. You know, does that make sense?
More or less. You said yesterday, who can be manager but not an administrator?
She can be a manager but not an administrator, but it doesn't mean she can't get done all the elements of administration. Right? Because a bureaucrat is an artist. And women being artists, it doesn't mean they can't keep the accounts and be on top of it and all that. But what they're doing is just they're very expert in the art of management to the point they can bring it up to that level. Because the difference is, see, it's very, very subtle here. The point is that externally it'll basically look the same. But unless one can differentiate the perspective that the men and women are approaching the same position, one will not actually be able to tell what they require to perform their duties. Does that make sense? Like that. The man is doing it because of duty. You know, or can. He may be doing it because of attachment, but that'll get in his way. The woman is doing it because of attachment, of possession. Well, a man is a temple president, right? So it's his duty to take care of the temple. And he has all these things that he must do, right? But they're part of an intellectual understanding of what it takes to run the temple, to make the temple work, right? And so if he's working on a good platform, then he's not attached to it. He won't claim it to be his. Right? But now so then it will work. If he claims it'll be his, it's very obvious. Right? Because that will be the masculine weakness. So everyone will go, oh, he thinks it's him, his. He thinks it's all about him. Right? But now, but if a woman is managing the temple, it's her, she will consider, this is my temple. By relationship. You understand? Women share everything. Men don't. They can, but they don't necessarily. Default setting of a man is not to share. Women always share. No matter what it is. Good, bad, the ugly, it's all. It's all shared. Right? But men, it's they have to actually be conscious to share. Right? Because let's say the woman is upset with the man and she's saying he's an idiot and this and that. She's saying it for the platform of her relationship with him and her disappointment at how he's behaving. So therefore, it's impacting on the relationship between them. And that is means if he wants a relationship, then he's an idiot. Right? Because if there's no relationship, what does he care? What does she care? Right? A woman, if she doesn't care, does not yell and scream. It's not worth her time. Women will always get something from any endeavor. So why yell and scream at something you don't care about? You know, that's like the cliche. The guy comes up, says something like that. She just yells and screams at him, tells him, get out of here, and who does he think she is? And then as she walks off, that lady's friend says, oh, you really like the guy, huh? Why? Because why would she spend her time? Right? But a man, then from that, she gets angry and he gets angry. But he's not sharing in the relationship. He's angry at the principle of, you know, why is she telling me like this? I'm the man, you know, why does she always have to be right? And, you know, why, you know, there's no sharing there. You understand? It's not shared. That's where the weakness is. So it's a relationship. He has to be conscious. Women function only in relationship. They don't know anything outside of that. Because the feminine principle is dependent. The feminine principle relies on the masculine principle. Otherwise, they don't exist. The masculine principle is existence. The feminine principle is connected to that. Therefore, you exist. The creation exists because it's connected to God. Does that make sense? But God can exist with or without the creation. He is existence. So the masculine nature will exist whether there's a relationship with the feminine or not. So he's just, it's just his masculine false ego. His idea of who he thinks he is. That is a disturbance. He's not fighting over the relationship. She is. Does that make sense? So, therefore, it's not a weakness in the woman of the possession. Because that's how they function. That's what's going to make her work. It's her temple devotees. Therefore, she will take care of them. But as we mentioned yesterday, she will take care as they respond. Right? Now, they respond nicely to what she's done. They notice that she improved the quality of prasad for the devotees. They comment, wow, the prasad's nice. It keeps improving. They don't comment. It goes back to what it was, or possibly worse. You know, so that they wake up, and then they go, well, you know, it was better before. Okay, then you notice the arrangements. You understand? So you're dealing with this element there. So they will get everything done that the men do, but from a completely different perspective. But as we mentioned yesterday, is if they don't have that emotional support, then they won't be able to be consistent in that. Right? Yes. Administrator is more theoretical, yes. That's why you have Manusamhita. It gives all the theory behind what administration means. Women can do it, but they're doing it from the art side, from the possession side. I mean, in other words, it gets done. So looking at it externally, it gets done. You have a big company, you know, this big multinational company. You have the CEO. The CEO is a man. right? So he's thinking, okay, I've got this, I got the plan, you know, he's got his position, I got power, I got influence, and so therefore I do these things and it works. Like that. You know, he'll say, it's my company, I built it up. But it's him, and then there's the company. The company is an extension of him. Right? But for the woman, if she's the CEO, the company is her. There's no difference. You said, that's why if the man is attacked on power play in the company, depending upon him, he'll respond, you know, more nicely or not, but he may take it as a challenge and may even take it up, especially if he thinks it's someone worthy of fighting with. But the woman, no, it won't be that. It's an emotional, you're attacking her position, you're attacking her. Well, the man, if you're attacking his position. Understand? So therefore, it'll be more, how you say, the emotional level will be much more if it's a woman than a man. So you have to be much more careful. So even though she's the CEO, you still have to deal in as a woman. Because no woman, no matter what she says or does, will still act as one. You know, it's just the way it is. They may be, the forum that they are acting in is still there. You know, she may be loose, she may be half-dressed, walking down the street. You can say she's free. But if nobody notices her half-dressedness, she will come unglued. She's doing that to be noticed. In other words, the man in her life doesn't notice. Right? She could walk, he's there in the morning reading his newspaper and drinking his coffee. She could walk out naked. He wouldn't even notice. Right? So it's being done to create relationship, create interaction. So it's superficial. They know it's superficial. But it's a relationship. You understand? So the point is that it's not that the woman can't do all these things, you know. So it's just like in the contemporary environment, women are trying to move into these different positions and do these. It's not that they can't do them. The point is that they're trying to do it as a man, which they'll never do. They'll do it as a woman, and they'll be successful as a woman. The point is feminine is powerful. Actually, technically, I've only seen it once, but in the first canto, Prabhupada mentions women are more powerful than men. He only says it once. Right? So, but the difficulty is that in the feminine position, they get everything done. Maya manages the whole material world, you know, as a woman. You know, she doesn't have to, you know, do the Angelina Jolie thing, you know, get out there and, you know. She does it as a woman. Does that make sense? Because women in that position are more powerful. Yes. You can't understand. Means why would she identify? What's wrong with it?
We shouldn't identify,
but the thing is, as long as we're conditioned, we're going to act in that way. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, once one comes to the liberated platform, there's no distinction made between the masculine and feminine position. Because, I mean, in the way of gender. Because then one's beyond those elements. But within the material sphere, still it will be there. You know what I'm saying? Is, you know, she's the big career woman and all that. But so she starts, you know, and is fired up. She doesn't need the man and this and that. By the time she's 40, she's starting to look around. Because she doesn't want to die alone. She wants to be able to share her life with somebody. Even though she's, you know, of course, she'll look for someone big and powerful. That's an equal or act better. She's better than him. He makes more money. He's in a bigger position. You know what I'm saying? So it'll still come back to the feminine nature. That's why I say, one can't work outside of that because that's the way God's created it. But one has to understand that the cultural variety of manifestation is very broad. Does that make sense? So it can be in a very sophisticated way, a very simple way. It can be in a very, let's say, shy way or a very blatant way. But the point is that rough, outgoing, in-your-face lady, she'll be more shy and reserved than the man that impresses her. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point. That's the balance. So it'll always come back to that. So means, in other words, the question is here. I get one element is the underlying aspect of it. You know, can women be administrators? So on one level, yes, they can be. But they'll actually approach it as the performing the arts that are there. Does that make sense? Okay. Yes?
Please forgive if this question is redundant, but is the very mentality of complaining or objecting that they can't be like a man feminine in itself?
Is it feminine nature to be complaining that they can't be like a man? Yes. Because the point is one of the elements of the feminine nature is what's rare is important. So what you can't have is what you have to have. Right? The man, he's supposed to have it. Now it's a matter of, is he going to do it? But the feminine nature is, you can't have it, you want it. But once you get it, nobody cares. You know what I'm saying? Like that. You know, it's just like before. You say, the women can't give class. You know, it was like an international, you know, hue and cry about, you know, this is not right, this and that. So then they pushed it through that they can give the class. How many give class? No, but it was just they couldn't give the class. No, they have to be able to give the class. But once they can give the class, who cares? You know, what do you get out of it anyway? Right? You understand? So these kind of things that one has to be very, very careful to see what it is, the position, then you know how to respond and all that. Yes?
What about women acting as initiating spiritual masters? And what about the men who strongly preach against it?
Okay, what about the women spiritual masters? Just as a random example. Nothing on the nothing connect with the contemporary or something. Okay. Women is the point is that the what does spiritual master mean? Right? So spiritual master means someone who is enlightening you according to spiritual life, spiritual subject matter. Right? That's a spiritual master. So that's the generic, because the generic starts on the Bhagavat platform. Bhagavat platform means it's you are giving direction or instruction in some way, helping someone in their spiritual progress. That makes you spiritual master. Right? Now, that's generic. That's across the board. Now, if you come into the conditioned state, then the conditioned state, then you're dealing with within spiritual instruction, the spiritual master. Then you're designating between siksha, and you're adding to it now diksha. Because on the Bhagavat platform, there's only siksha. But once you come to the Pancharatric platform, then there's diksha. Because the conditioned nature requires observable responsibility. Otherwise, it's the tendency is of the cheating nature and illusion and all these things that one will not take the siksha relationship as seriously as someone who is on the liberated platform would. So it's required. But it's in consideration of the conditioned nature. So in other words, if you have diksha, you've already defined conditioned nature, which includes masculine and feminine. You understand? So you can't include in the same sentence or same paragraph, we're not this body Prabhu, so therefore women can become Diksha Gurus. Because if we're not this body Prabhu, Diksha is not even a question, because you'll function on the platform of Siksha. But if you're talking diksha, you are talking about the body. You understand? That's the weakness in this whole argument that's being presented on this, is that this is not the approach. The approach is spiritual, and another is that from the conditioned platform, one does not actually think siksha is that important. It's diksha that's the all in all. But in the Vedic concept, it's siksha that's the all in all. In fact, the Vedic initiation ceremony, the Upanayanam, you know, the Brahma Gayatri, it's not considered diksha, it's considered siksha. It's a siksha initiation. Right? The Pancharatrik then makes the clearness that it's, you know, the diksha is there, but its basis is siksha. So the point is that the siksha guru is no different than the diksha guru. Diksha automatically is on the second level of siksha gurus, right? First level, the lowest level is the preachers. They're generically trying to help you go back to Godhead, but they're not taking specific responsibility for you, right? The second platform is the sadguru, one who takes eternal responsibility for you, right? And the third level is who is guiding those eternal spiritual masters, right? In other words, the Adi Guru. You know, for us, that will be Prabhupada, right? Now, the siksha level, the diksha guru is on that second level. So that means any siksha guru that is taking that responsibility is on that level. So you can be equal to the diksha guru in siksha level. That is being ignored. It's not even on the floor for discussion because it's not a point of discussion. Because when we talk about gurus and all this and that, we only talk diksha. Right? I mean, that's the official paper. That's our official paper. So the difficulty is because it's aimed at the third class devotee. But we're a preaching movement. We should be aiming at the second class devotee. So the second class devotee is able to accommodate his conditioned nature and work with it nicely in connection with Krishna without a desire for result. Well, the neophyte has to work on his conditioned nature for his own result. Right? So, in other words, women being siksha gurus, there's no restriction anywhere. Right? So, being a guru on the Bhagavad platform, but there's no diksha there. It's the siksha that's the initiation. That's not a problem. On the Pancharatrik, that one is giving siksha, that's also not a problem. Right? The Vedic is specifically for the boys in the Gurukul, so it doesn't apply. Right? So then they are naturally one of the categories of gurus. Right. What is the mother doing? What is the wife of the guru? What are they all doing? They're training one in God consciousness, in the culture of Krishna consciousness. So that position is automatically there. Right? So now there's a specific that we're going into, the diksha. But then we see as that element comes into the aspect of varna. Because it's the duties of a Brahmin. Right, Brahman does these things, so it's an occupational duty. It's not an ashram duty, right? Well, you see, does that make sense? It's part of the rituals of varna, and so the Brahman, if he's qualified, may then function in that category and has external responsibilities and that go with it. Right? In other words, you have the spiritual master, you know, his feet are revered and this and that. But in anybody who follows the Vedic culture, they get up in the morning, they go in and touch the feet of their mother. They're already doing that. You know, but it's part of the culture. But in the masculine world, then it's made an official kind of situation. Does that make sense? You catch the subtlety that's here? So, in other words, what we're saying is that this concept that the woman has to be a diksha guru as defined according to the present or, you know, your traditional manifestation, that's unnecessary.
because how it's functioning is the men in a public environment. And that environment doesn't really work for the ladies. Right? So the whole idea that they're pushing this element, its premise is wrong. It's not wrong that women are gurus, but the premise is wrong that they're going to be able to function comfortably in the man's environment. You know, and think and act like a man, which they won't. Just like men don't think like women, women don't think like men. Does that make sense? Yes. No, we're here. He's talking.
I was thinking in retrospect, you know, it's interesting. I've been understanding that the modus operandi of the women psychology is that it can be more perfect, more efficient than a man managing and organizing things.
If they have the support.
Yes, if they have support. That's the thing, you know, the way. I mean, you're so correct, because China Gandhi also says, you know, a leader leads people, a manager manages things.
Yes.
And usually the inspiration is drawn from a leader.
Yes.
In following rules, regulations.
Yes.
Now, this is my question. If a woman, you know, is supported by a husband, is supported by a leader, or a manager, I'm not just talking about a woman. A man is someone who's a very good manager, because in this town we have managers who are perfect, very good, efficient, but they're very lousy leading people.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really inspire. And sometimes you have a vice versa. You're a leader doing things, and he's useless. Whereas, you know, he can be more efficient in inspiring people. Now, this is my question. Can a woman or a manager can have the capacity of inspiring people to follow rules and regulations?
I would say is there two different things here, because in here the definition means a manager is expert at moving things. So, and then it makes about the woman, can she be a leader? It means, yes, she can inspire, because in other words, a leader means, why is he able to work with people? Because he himself is inspired as a person. And by association, you can make others have the same inspiration. But it's just a matter of what field it will come in. Just like it mentions, women will approach the whole thing as religious. Right. So, in other words, the child gains its religiousness from the mother and the spirituality from the father. Because spirituality means you have material, you have spiritual, and you have devotional. Right? In this definition, we're going to break it like that. You know, like sometimes you have karmis and jnanis. So the yogis are included in the karmis. But you can also say karmis, jnanis, and yogis if you want to be more specific. So here, spirituality is included within the devotional, but it also has an overlap into the material. But we're making a distinction here. Spiritual meaning it's not material, but it's not devotional. Or hasn't come to that platform. So that would mean is that spiritual means you're functioning without working within relationship. Right? In other words, material, you have a relationship with the material energy. Devotional, you have a relationship in the spiritual platform. But spiritual means you don't have a material relationship. You understand? Does that make sense? So a man can do that. Women don't do that. They'll go from material attachment to spiritual attachment. They'll skip the spiritual part. You know what I'm saying? In other words, the Brahman part is just skipped. Because, you know, where's the interaction? Where's the rasa? Right? Does that make sense? So you're getting different from different elements there. So the woman, because she has, if she's materially inspired, she'll inspire others materially. She's spiritually inspired, she'll inspire others. You know, I mean, she's devotionally inspired, she'll inspire people devotionally.
right? But it's the same principle. If you're attached to Krishna, why would you be attached to Maya? But man will may approach it that material, there's a problem, so therefore I won't be attached to it. I should get out of that attachment, and then that's replaced with attachment to Krishna. Right? So they go through those steps. Well, the woman, it's attachments there. It's either Maya or Krishna. You understand? It's simple. That's what Prabhupada is saying. The gopis aren't great scholars. They just love Krishna. Right? So it's a subtle thing. So the woman can be a leader. That's not a problem, because there's that inspiration for it. Like you have, you know, in history, you have Joan of Arc, right? She was a leader. Why? Because she was inspired by the concept of a free France and, you know, all these different things like that. Because it's her land, it's her place, it's hers. And she wants to share that with everybody.
So it's not, you understand? Necessarily that the man is the capitalist principle for issuing the inspiration.
No, the masculine will be. In other words, the masculine can function on his own. The feminine can only function if there's a masculine element supporting. You know what I'm saying? It's slightly different. In other words, the feminine is like nourishing, but you can only nourish if you're getting nourishment yourself from somewhere. Right? The mother can feed the baby if she's eating. She's not eating, she can't feed the baby. So if she's getting support emotionally, she can give support emotionally. Right? So with the child, you see that the child is taken care of very nicely by the mother because she's taken very nicely by the husband. Right? Does that make sense? Then she's comfortable. If there's no one supporting her, out of attachment, she'll take care of the child. But she is not in a good state of mind. Therefore, her children also emotionally don't develop. They'll be physically taken care of, but emotionally, they won't be taken care of. Does that make sense? It's subtle in this. I mean, in other words, these kind of things, you can go on for days. That's the weakness with a 6-day program. Is, you know, I mean, our natural course that we'll be starting after a couple of years will be 3 years. You know, then you can really, you know, because these things you want to be able to discuss so that you can see it in every aspect, you know, because here we can only give some concepts and then one will have to go away from here and use one's own intelligence to try to see that. And so through practice one will get it, but the problem is it will depend upon one's own intelligence and practice like that. Okay. Is that okay? Yes. Yes. Yes.
If you look at the Shikshastram, those instructions are not gender oriented. For example, when it says Srinada Pisun Chena Kararaka Sesam or Nadanam Rajanam Nasundari, to the degree that a person assimilates that teaching and can practice it, they become a leader naturally. And leadership begins incrementally. You have to lead yourself first. Mm. Then when you develop relationships, you have to often take a leading position, like a mother takes a leading position, a husband takes a leading position. And Prabhupada gave a simple formula to understand what a leader is. A leader is a person for whom there are no complaints. Mm. And why? Because he or she does two things, yoga and shema. It's gain and safety. Mm-hmm. In other words, the person is looking for easy access to Krishna consciousness. So a leader makes that access very easy for everyone in the community. And secondly, the leader is a person who helps people stay in that position, not fall down from it. So if he does that, or she does that, they become a good leader, and there's no complaints. And the leader becomes an expert in kicking up, not kicking down. Mm-hmm. Usually in the material world, you kick someone down, so you go up. But the leader is expert in kicking people up. So if it's the ladies in the community, he gives them proper respect and protection, and then all their artistic and creative abilities blossom. They don't feel stifled. And if it's the men, he teaches them how to control their lust and anger and greed. And then they also become leaders in their own right, and everything blossoms. So the main thing is, if we get hung up on male and female.
But here, this male and female, I'm talking about the generic principle of not whether they have what genital they have. I'm talking about who's in what position. Like I said, the mother is in the masculine position, the child's in the feminine position.
No, I understand that.
Yeah. So therefore, you can't not get hung up on it, because everything's functioning on the masculine feminine principle. It's a matter of which aspect of the masculine feminine you're looking at. If you're simply looking at it, they have a female body, therefore they can't do it, that won't answer the question, nor will be satisfied. You have to look at what is the feminine nature in this position, what are they doing? That's the point. So that is going beyond, but it's still in consideration of, because if we're saying that one of the liberal principles, you know, one of the basis of liberality is its ability to consider the individual and the situation they're in. But to do that, you actually have to know who the individual is. So if you don't actually understand that you're dealing with a woman that's going to be in the position of a Diksha Guru, it won't be understood. The mother is in the masculine position because she's in the feminine position with the husband. So we're not saying that technically the woman could do it, but the point is who's in the masculine position for her? That's where the question comes. And if that person's not there, then you're going to have the element which we didn't discuss up to now, is one of the qualities of the feminine is its variety. Right? Krishna has expanded the creation because of the variety. It expands pleasure. So the feminine nature never responds twice in the same way, in the same situation. So that's their strength in creating variety in rasa, but it's also a weakness in the mechanics because of its lack of consistency. So the point is that consistency, for them to be consistent, they have to have that support. So if you want them to be consistent as a Diksha Guru, if they don't have that support, then there won't be a consistency. Right? And so that's what we're talking about. Because the point is until they're liberated, when that woman guru goes off the altar, she will be touchy to deal with emotionally. It's just the way it is. And so then, okay, other women understand that. But now what about the men? Because the thing is she going to act like your mother does and put it on the side because she's going to chew out the husband? Or is she not going to, and she's going to chew out the disciple? So these are the points I'm talking about, is that it's not a matter of, oh, those are archaic rules, or no, women can do so many things. It's a matter of what is a woman and what can she actually do? How will she be comfortable? Because like you said, protection and, gain and safety. These are the, like you could say, essential platforms of need of woman. She is gain, technically. She's opulence. But she needs safety. Right? And if there's safety, then that gain could be manifest and all the varieties can happen. Man is safety. He's looking for the gain. So that's where the masculine-feminine relationship comes in. It's a play between gain and safety. So in that is like you're saying, means everything you said about the litter, that's 100% correct. That's very, I'm actually, I very satisfied with the depth of your presentation. That was, I felt that was very good. You hear very few people being able to talk from that level of depth of understanding relationships. But in here, we're not taking the position, this is not pro-Vedic or modern. This is looking from Vedanta, is that actually how will, on this platform, the masculine-feminine principle work in how it's working in the potencies of the universe. That's what we're talking about. And their effect on the social, and in this case, then the guru-disciple relationship. So, in other words, if we give example, well, Janava was a guru. Okay, let us look at that. Yes, but how was she a guru? At the Kateri Utsav,
She didn't, which was the first Gaur Purnima. She did not speak in public. Srinivasacharya spoke in public. The Abhishek was done by Srinivasacharya in public. She stayed in her house. And she did work out all the differences in understanding and bewilderment that came from Lord Chaitanya after his disappearance. But everybody went to her house. She didn't come out and speak in public. So in other words, she is a guru, but on feminine terms. You come to her. She doesn't go to you. Right? She doesn't do a whole thing in public. It's a private affair. Right? And even, she would talk behind a curtain if men were present. You know what I'm saying? So, it's in other words, she was doing everything that, the acharya would do, but as a woman. So that's my point, is that in the discussions on can women be, Diksha Gurus, I don't see any discussion on their needs as a woman being taken care of. It's simply the woman in the masculine environment, they'll come in and the foot will be washed there and the big Vyas Puja and like a big birthday party. So it's like, what has it got to do for the woman? And what happens if, something doesn't go quite right? It's like this. The man, a disciple, leaves. Try harder. But he doesn't have the possession that a woman does. A disciple leaves. That's going to be devastating. Especially if it's a close disciple. And it's very, very common. And if you ask any guru, they can tell you how many disciples actually speak against you, go against you. That would destroy a woman. Right? These aren't being considered in the equation. So what is the backup that when that comes up, who's going to support? That's my point. That's the point. So we're not saying they can't do it, but the point is that it should be done properly. Otherwise, you're going to have one or two come up in the front and do like this, and then they're going to disappear. And then you won't see other women get involved, because it's not actually what they want to do. You know what I'm saying? That's the... Yes, go ahead.
That's
okay.
Very good.
Okay.
Clarification.
Okay.
In more generic terms,
okay,
a leader is a person who inspires faith.
Right.
And it's a person who has the most faith in the group.
Right.
And the way they inspire faith, one way, is they're absolutely predictable.
Yes.
If you understand the principles that they act by.
Yes.
After some time, you have faith that you can always predict what they're going to do.
Yes.
When they become unpredictable in their behavior, then it breaks the faith and there's a chaotic situation.
Yes.
So this predictability is based on following the regulative principles. And if they follow, if a leader follows the regulative principle, it doesn't matter whether it's a man or a woman. Men have certain functions that they can do that women can't do. Women have certain functions they can do that men can't do.
Okay.
If they stick to those varnas and then practice their ashramic qualities, then it's perfect. It's a perfect system.
Yes.
But this predictability that will lead to sustainable faith is the main quality of a leader.
Yes.
And if I can't predict a person, I'm going to lose my faith.
Yes. Yes. So, therefore, in that predictability, women can only take the masculine position, which is predictable, if they have support. Otherwise not, because then they can do... In other words, it's like this. The woman in public can be very controlled and very in the background and, not get involved and all that, because she can go home and control the situation. Like that. So in other words, they can be predictable. Means we're taking it at face value predictability. If there's situations where they can not be predictable. And it's not going to impact on that environment of their predictability. Right? In other words, what is in the public, then that's seen, but they have to be able to be in private to, do whatever they need to do as women. So, but at the same time, as if you have very serious training in these principles of how it works, then you can predict the unpredictability of women. You understand? You know the formulas it'll work on. You don't know what it will be. In other words, a woman will always have a certain sphere or field of emotions and reactions she has, but which one you'll get in which situation, you don't know. Does that make sense? You know, I mean, of course it doesn't make sense, but does that make sense? You know what I'm saying? So that element, then, you can understand the formula. So if you have, so the mature persons of that yatra can understand that if you did have a female leader, and when she's acting by the feminine qualities that create an unpredictable kind of situation, they know that that's standard. They won't be affected. Right? The situation may be disturbed, but you just wait until it passes. But the problem is if you have persons who are not so well trained, you know, just general devotee, and that, unless they really understand this, let's say in their own family, with their own wife or daughter or mother, then they will be affected, like you said, and they won't be able to accommodate that. So that's where the weakness is. Right, so the Vedic formulas are there, social formulas are what always works. It's not that you can't do something outside of that. But those work in special situations with people who really know what they're doing. Right? But the difficulty comes is if you don't have that, generically it always works. You know, it's just like, you know, you have the standard morning program, exactly how it is, you know, Mangalartik's at, you know, 4:30, and then you have this, and then class. And that works. You can put it anywhere. But let's say you have a place where... I remember it was, I think, you know, in one temple is that the neighbors were there and they couldn't do the program early. So they chanted first, right? They chanted and did everything. Then at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock, then they did all the kirtan like that.
It's going to be a guru puja.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, but I mean, we're supposed to end now anyway. Okay. Okay, thank you.
Huh?
So that's the means. We'll just end this point, then we'll end. Is that the principle? Is that one has to understand is that there are always exceptions to the rules, but the exceptions to the rules are by people who know the rules so well that they know what's the purpose of the rules, so they're actually accomplishing the purpose. The exception to the rule is not the birthright of those who don't know the rule or those who are opposing. In other words, the person who opposes the Vedic paradigm is not the person to use the statement, we don't care for the rules. You know, or there are exceptions to the rules. Point is, you have to know that, like we just explained, how Janava is not just guru, she's acharya. But the public acharya was Srinivas. But the actual acharya who actually made everything work was Janava. Srinivas Acharya did it in the man's world as a man. And she did it as a woman. Because a woman has a place in a man's woman, in a man's world as a woman, but not as a man. Just as a man doesn't have a place in the woman's world as a woman. Right? He means, in other words, if he's going to be very involved in their world, he has to be very, very gentle and very accommodative of the feminine principle. Then they're comfortable with him. But if he's going to be too manly, then he can't be around all the time. So it works both ways. It's something that it's laws of nature, so it's not a matter of modern man can discuss whether it applies or not. It's just laws. It's not, you know, it's like, it would be like if we got together, you know, a group here and then, you know, and all the, you know, representative managers of ISKCON world, and then we discuss whether we want to accept gravity or not. You know, it's a really annoying thing. You know, if there was no gravity, you know how much money we would save of Krishna's money we could get from one place to another? We'd just jump and then, you know, we could be over in America, you know, like that. So we really think that we don't have to, you know, we're not this body, we're beyond, we don't have to worry about gravity. You know? And everybody, it's a unanimous vote, you know, we write it down, you know. But it doesn't matter because the laws of nature still function, you know, so that's the...
Okay. Your question was answered, basically? Okay. So we'll end here? Yeah.